We've been talking about stewardship. And really, this series really ties into our last series, when we're talking about that the Christian life involves everything. There's a story told about this man who heard about Jesus. And this person tells him that, you know, to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you everything. Jesus has happiness, he has joy, he gives peace, he has healing, security. He offers eternal life. The man looks at that and he thought, man, I'd like to have that. And says, I don't think you can afford it. He said, well, how much does it cost? They says, so it's way too costly. You wouldn't be able to do it. But how much does it cost? Well, it's very expensive. Well, can I buy it? It will cost you everything. I mean, everything. No more, no less. Anybody can buy it? He says, I'm going to buy it. Well, what do you have? So he looks at himself and he looks around and he writes on a piece of paper, I have $10,000 in the bank. Good. $10,000. What else? Well, I have nothing else. That's all I have. Well, you don't have anything else? What do you have in your pockets? Well, I have some money in my pockets. He said, let me see, 10, 20, 30, 100, 120. Yeah, that'll do. I'll take that too. Okay. What else do you have? I don't have anything else. Well, do you have a family? And he goes, yes, I have a family. Well, I'll take that. And he said, what else do you have? Well, I don't have anything else except a house. He says, you have a house. I'll take the house. Well, what do you expect me to do? To live in the garage? Well, you have a garage. I'll take that too. He says, well, if you take my house, you take my garage, all I have left, I have to sleep in my car. You have a car? He said, well, I have two. I says, I'll take both of those as well. Well, if you take all my money, you took all my house, my garage, my cars, you took my family, I'll just be long in this world. Well, I'll take you too. See, I want everything. I want everything. I want your wife. I want your children. I want your house. I want your money. I want your cars. Everything. Everything. And I want you too. I want every part of you. And now you can use all these things and just never forget that they belong to me. And then you can follow me. See, that's what stewardship is all about. It's understanding that ownership is not ours, but it's God's. Everything belongs to Him. And so far, we've been talking about in this series called Stewardship 360, where we're talking about that stewardship involves everything. It's every aspect of our lives. We talked about time and how we use our time and being good stewards of that time. Last week, we talked about talents. You know, not only does God want to have control over your finances, but He wants to have control over how you use the things He's got you, how He's blessed you in your life. And today, I want us to look at one other aspect of stewardship. If you'll turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want us to look at some verses there where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And this is what he says, starting in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immortality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but also raised us up through His power. Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. But every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Let's pray together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you here this morning, we just pray that you would be with us as we look at this idea of stewardship. And Father, that we realize that you want everything. You want us to submit everything to you, every part of us. And Father, today as we look at our bodies and how you want us to be good stewards of our body, Father, you would just guide us in this study. Father, you would just what you would want us to know and how you want us to apply to our lives would be put before us here today. That, Father, that we just don't hear these words, but, Father, we see ways we can apply these words to our lives this day. And, Father, I just pray that you would use me as your instrument this day. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. Paul took a high value upon our bodies and how we use them. Its care and its discipline were an essential part of what he wanted to teach the Corinthians and how they used it. You think Paul would agree with the old proverb that cleanliness is next to godliness? See, no doubt he would have said cleanliness is a part of godliness, especially as if we understood that it to include the ethical and the moral cleanliness that we have in our life. Paul did nothing to impair the functions of the body, to enfeeble its powers, or to prostitute it for uses. Concerning the relation of the body to religion, human opinion has escalated over the years between two different fields of thought. You know, there's one field of thought when we think about the body and we look at the body, they believe that we needed to beat the body down. We need to sacrifice, that it was really evil, and that we needed to do all types of things to it. So they would just starve the body of different things, and they would beat the body. And there's even people that would go and take whips and beat themselves with it. I saw a special one time talking about the cross and how the cross, what the cross meant all through the ages. And there are people today that go and they have themselves nailed to the cross because they just think that the body is an evil thing. And then there's another group that kind of look at the body, and it came back during the period of the Greeks and from Greek religion. And you go back and you look at all of the pictures and the paintings and the poetry that and the writings that have been saved through time. We can see how they looked at the body, and they glorified it. And they had temples that glorified the prostitution. And they thought we should just indulge in the body. That the body was this beautiful thing. And that we needed to use it. And they didn't look so much on the abusing of it, but they believed that you ought to use it. And they had temples set aside. And there were people that go, and they were temple prostitutes. And they took both extremes, as we look at them, are both wrong. There are two ways... There are two ways not to be spiritual, and it is not these two ways. Undue and unnatural suppression of the body will make us more of a materialistic person, as well as the unbridled and the uncontrolled indulgence in the body will make us an undisciplined person. Both put a disproportionate emphasis on the physical body itself. One cannot do that and be a spiritual person, because what's really important is our spiritual side, and that's what God wants from us. The Christian position is that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, and that inside of us resides the Holy Spirit. So concerning this idea of stewardship today, the stewardship of our bodies, let's look at four questions. Here's question number one: the bodies. Whose is it? See, we need to come to understanding that in stewardship, everything belongs to God, and that our bodies belong to God. They are God's. And that is why, as far as our bodies are concerned, we have to be good stewards of our bodies. So the reason that whose it is, the first way we can answer that is the body is God's because he designed it. He is the master designer. From ancient times, they had studied the body, and they tried to understand the body. And they did all types of things, but it wasn't until the modern era that they that we dare and really investigate the bodies to really see what was going on. The scientific study of anatomy dates back to the works of the Flemish studier who wrote a publication of his book called On the Fabric of the Human Body. Today, what doctors would say even 400 years later, that they're still trying to understand the body. And there's need to have more knowledge of it so that we can cure more diseases. Centuries ago, the psalmist wrote this in Psalms 139, verse 14. He said this, I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What would we have said about our modern knowledge of anatomy had been available to him back then? I think he still would have said, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. So think of the giants of a body, our body, you know, our brains, our hearts, our lungs. Even primitive humans sense that these organs were very, very important. And they played dramatic roles in our bodies. Through their functions, long remain clothed in mysteries and superstition, we understood that these parts of the body, these giants of our bodies were very important, that we probably couldn't live without any of those. And think of those remarkable sentinels of the body. Our eyes, our ears, our noses, our throats, our skin. You know how we sense the things that are around us, how we touch things, we smell things, we see things, and how important those are to us. God created these things. And how about the teamwork of the command and control together with the muscles and the nerves and the bones give us connection that so we can carry things and we can do things with these great things, our muscles, our nerves, our bones. And how about the laboratories of our bodies? How about our stomachs, our colons and our gallbladders and our pancreas and our kidneys? How important they are. The chemical wizardry that goes on in those, the blood and the glands and all these things. There was a master designer. Someone created these things. When we look at our bodies, we understand that a great designer designed these bodies, and they're just wonderful how they work together. And there isn't things that malfunction like that when we're born, but these things are all designed by God to work together. God designed our bodies, so He owns us. They are God's because He designed it. He also, our bodies is God's because He created it. In the simplest language possible, the creation record tells us that in the beginning, Jehovah God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man's different than anything else that was created. God came to man, and He made him separate than He made the animals and the world that He created. It was totally different because when He created the animals, when He created all the other things, He did not breathe into them the breath of life, the breath of God. Only man received that. And that makes man so much different than anything else in God's creation. God breathed into us. Human, therefore, enjoy the privileges of participating in a good world with the capacities for growth and for fellowship with God, because God created man to be in fellowship with Him. And the body is God's also because He redeemed it. You see, long ago, God spoke thus to the people. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says this, Now thus says Jehovah that created thee, I have called thee by thy name. And He says, Thou art mine. You are mine. God created us and He redeemed us. He sent His one and only Son to come to this world so that He could give us the remedy to sin. God became man so that He could redeem us from the penalty of sin so that one day we can have eternal life. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is the one found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And he says there, Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. God redeemed us. God wants to have a relationship with us, and he offers salvation to each and every one of us. See, we first need to answer the question, is that whose is it? And our bodies belong to God. The second question I want us to answer is, what is it? In the simplest term, the Bible tells us the body is a dwelling place, the house of the inner person. Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he says this, we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So our body is a dwelling place of our minds, our rational center. In the creation records, we are told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. After our likeness. Created in the image of God. We could refer to man's body because God is spirit. John 4, 24. And has no body such as we have. God is different than what we are. And it's so different. He's spirit. And we are living in this physical realm. We must then take the rational, moral, and spiritual nature of humans are inclined to be in the image of God. And we were created after God so that we can have a relationship with him. So our body is the dwelling place of our minds and our rational nature. The body is also the dwelling place of our human spirit and our soul, and the soul that God has given us. We have a body, but we are a soul. And it's good to care for our body, but only as we care for the complex and fine piece of machinery made to serve us. You know, this body was made to house our soul, and that we need to take care of that body so that we can do what God has called us to do. For the Christian, the body is the dwelling place and the instrument of the soul. And we must, most important for the Christian, the body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, once we become Christians, comes and resides inside of us. And our text tells us that of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, told his disciples on the night he was betrayed, he abideth with you and shall be with you. See, this is the full impact of our text. Or know you not that your body is the temple, as we see here today in our text. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul admonishes the Ephesians over in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And we must never forget that the Holy Spirit resides within each of us. You know, we do all types of things. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do things that is detrimental to the Holy Spirit residing within us. We must take care of this body that we have, because the Holy Spirit resides in us. So how should we use it? How should we use our bodies? There are two sides of the coins. I think there is the wrong way to use it and the right way to use it. So on the one hand, there are some very wrong uses of the body. Number one, we shouldn't do things that impair the body's normal function. And those things are wrong. If we do things that go against what our body's normal function is. So what are the things that we can do to our bodies that really keeps it from doing what it's designed to do? Okay? And sometimes overeating are things that we shouldn't do. That we don't treat our bodies like we put things into our bodies that we shouldn't. Over the last few years, I've worked really hard on trying to eat better than the way I've been eating. And having Cajun in my background, there's a lot of things that I eat that probably aren't the best for me. Lots of fried things. Lots of things with grease and lard and all those good things. But sometimes I need to think about what I'm putting into my body and maybe those things that I shouldn't. And you know, it's really easy to put this weight that I have on, but it's very, very hard to try to get that weight off. So I come to a realization in my own life, there's some things that I can't allow into my body because they're not good for it. And we all need to look at things. Sometimes, you know, even though there are things that we can do, maybe there's some things that we sometimes shouldn't do. You know, sometimes maybe The use of alcohol is something that we may not need to do. Even though it may be permissible to do, maybe it's something we shouldn't do. I watched somebody. I never saw them drunk in my entire life. Not even once. But I had to sit there and watch them die because they had a cirrhosis of the liver. Just a casual drink here and there. And they died from it. And those things attack our bodies. And we know what happens because of that. Maybe smoking is something that we participate in, and maybe that's something we shouldn't do because we know it causes cancer. It causes respiratory diseases. Maybe we get pleasure from it. Maybe something we like to do, but maybe it's something we shouldn't do. The point of all this is this. If there's something that impairs our bodies, its normal function, it's things that we shouldn't do. We need to treat our bodies for what it is, and it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is supposed, we are supposed to be good stewards of it and use it for God. How about another bad way we probably shouldn't use our body is whatever enfeebles the body's power is wrong. Whatever makes it old before its time is sin. You know, there's a guy one time, he says, confounded. He was so confounded by his limitations. It was Lord Northampton. And he said that he came tottering out of this long court session. And he thought for a moment, then he said this. If I thought that these legs would one day carry the Lord Chancellor, I would have taken better care of these legs when I was younger. And that's a lot of things we need to look at. We need to look and try to treat our bodies in such a way that we can have a long life, a fruitful life, that God, and use our bodies for what God wants us to do. A third thing is that whatever prostitutes the body to have to base uses is wrong. And Paul mentioned some of those right there in our text. He talks about that when, you know, he really hones in when he's talking to the Corinthian people because it's such a terrible city in which they lived in. I mean, it's probably one of the roughest, it's one of the biggest cities of the time, but it's also one of the roughest cities of the time. There were all types of things. It was a sailor town. There was all types of rough people in this town. And one of the things that was going on in that town is a lot of sexual immorality. And all these things. So he points out here when he's talking about the body, and he talks to them about the sins against the body. So a lot of the other things that goes on, those happen outside the body. But these sexual sins, these happen inside of the body. And that you should stay away from that. You should get away from anything because you're sinning against the body. And so in the paragraph from which our text comes, fornication or sexual impurity is a concern at hand. There is a corporate application to 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. Fornication is a form of unfaithfulness to God and has no place in the church. Fornication characterized worship in the temple of Aphrodite in Corinth. It had no place in the temple of the Holy Spirit, which was their bodies. And we need to stay away from those sins that affect our bodies, that bring us to these base things, and that go against the Holy Spirit which resides within us. A Holy Spirit, Paul says, cannot be joined to a harlot. And remember, we need not to quench the Holy Spirit. We need not to be pushing the Holy Spirit until one day he finally has to flee our bodies. And another one is whatever defiles the body is wrong. In the city of Strasbourg of the Rhine in Europe, there's a world-famous cathedral that was built there. And it took more than four centuries to build. When Napoleon captured that city, he stabled his horses in that cathedral. Think of it. He let those beasts live in the light of jeweled windows before the altar that was meant for prayer. He did everything he could to defile that temple. We look between the Testaments, and there's another story. It talks about how they came, and when Israel was under attack, they came and They did everything they could to destroy the Israelites' religion. So one of the things there, they went into the altar in the temple of God, and they took pigs and they sacrificed them on the altar. They came and they urinated in these holy places so they could defile that place. Just like Napoleon defiled that place. And we need to be careful that we don't allow things in our own lives that defile this temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Anything that we do that defiles this body is wrong. And how about this? Whatever permits the body to become a vehicle of uncontrolled passions is wrong. When we study the parable of the prodigal son, it's an interesting story. Talks about this young man that did not like the rules of his household any longer, and he wanted just to get out and go on and do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. So he goes. And he goes out there and he does all those things, and he does those things to his body, and he just demoralizes. He goes to these uncontrolled passions. He uses all of his money. He does everything he wanted to do, and he just does it. And we are just like that. We're just like the boy. If we don't control ourselves and we don't control the passions of our life. So what are some of the good uses of our body? The first one is this. God intends that our bodies be used for the instruments of his worship and praise. The parts of the body, the eyes, the tongues, the mind, the motions, everything we have should all play a great part in our worship. And God has created us to worship him. God also intends our bodies to be vehicles of righteousness. For the Christian, a twofold process is going as the years pass. Paul wrote to the Corinthians over in 2 Corinthians 4:16, through our outward man is, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And our bodies are vehicles of righteousness, and that we need to keep working on that. And that's why it's important to study our Bibles, to read the scriptures, and do the things that God has called us to do. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and what does it say? Follow him. Follow what he's asking us to do. The body decays over time. And as you get older, you're going to be doing, you can do less and less. But while we are wearing out our body, our soul inside of the body should be growing. And then God intends that our bodies be instruments of his glory. The resurrected body of Christ bore the prints of the nails in his hands and the sword thrust through his side. Paul's battles for Christ. He talks about in the scriptures that as you look at his body bore the marks of his life, what he had been through, and they were his badge of honor. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, he wrote to the Galatians, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear branded on my body the marks of Christ. And he was proud of it. He knew what he had done. He knew the attempts that they made on his life to silence his message. But he wore those on his body. Paul prayed that Christ might be magnified in his body. That whatever happens to him, that Christ would be glorified, whether they threw him in prison, whether they beat him, they stoned him, whatever it was, until they finally took his life. On that, his prayer might be ours as well, that we're going to do whatever it takes to glorify God with our bodies. So what of it? To what conclusions do we come? In ancient Greece, there was a thinker who was so devoted to the life of the Spirit that he was absolutely ashamed of his body. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do at all. There's no greater error. The supreme revelation of God was in the taking of the human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. It says there in John chapter 1, and the Word, which is God, became flesh. That is why Christians must treat their bodies as sacred, and we must take care of them so that we can use them for the building of God's kingdom. To speak thus is to put our finger on one of the most precious elements of Christian hope. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in this. Chapter 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 through 44, he says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. So what does he mean, a spiritual body? We don't know for sure exactly, but we do know there's going to be a resurrected body, and that we our spiritual body is what's going to go and be with God. So we must wear our bodies well. My friends, this morning, we need to be good stewards of everything that God has given us, and that includes the bodies in which we have. And if they're in this morning, as we get ready to conclude here this morning, if you have not been good stewards of your body, today is the time to start making some changes. Treat your body the way that God wants you to treat it. It is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. If here this morning, there's some that do not know Christ, that need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior this morning, maybe you haven't been a good steward of your body because you have not even became a Christian. You haven't accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior. The story told about a speaker, his name was Brennan Manning, and he tells an amazing story how he got his name Brennan. Yeah, while growing up, his best friend was Ray. They did everything together. They did, everything you possibly could think, they all did together. And they spent all their get-togethers, they double-dated together, they went to school together, and so forth. They even enlisted in the Army together. They went to boot camp together, they fought on the front lines together. One night they were sitting in a foxhole, and they were just talking, and Brennan was reminiscing about their old days in Brooklyn, and Ray listened as he ate a chocolate bar. Suddenly, a live grenade came down into the foxhole. Ray looked at Brennan, smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and threw himself on top of that grenade. It exploded, killing Ray, but Brennan's life was spared. When Brennan became a priest, he was instructed that he needed to take a name of a saint. He thought of his friend Ray Brennan, so he took the name Brennan. Years later, he went to visit Ray's mother, and they reminisced, And finally, he looks at his mom and he asks this, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Miss Brennan got up from that couch. She shook her finger at Brennan and his face and she shouted, "What more could he have done for you?" It makes me think, when we come here today, and as we think about, does God really love me? Does He really care for me? Does He still love me after all my failings? How I fail Him? Does He still care for me? And I can see Mary standing in front of the cross and pointing up to Jesus and saying, "What more could He do for you?" Jesus came and died for each of us so that we might have life. This morning, maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept that gift that God laid down His life for us. Jesus came and died. And maybe there's some here this morning that would need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You want to come and confess Him before men, repent of your sins, then claim that He's going to be now your Lord and your Savior, and go down the watery grave of baptism and have your sins washed away. Maybe there's others here this morning that just need to make some changes to your life. Maybe it concerns being better stewards of your bodies. Maybe it concerns just using your time better, using your talents like you should. Maybe it has to do with something else. Maybe there's some sin in our life that we need to get rid of. Whatever it is, this morning we're going to sing a song of decision. And if you have a decision, don't just stand there. Come to the front and let's get it right with God today. Let's do it as we stand and sing.